Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, part one of our series on attention management, distractions. Here we go. I don't know that I'm a lot better than anybody else, and I fall into the trap just like everybody. I'm a poor manager of my time. Sorry, because I know what you're going to say.
Dude, Cat Norris is going to come and get you.
Right. Okay. So managing our priorities, because we really can't manage time. So time can't be managed. But what we can do is we can control what we do with our time. That we can control, right? And so that would we call managing our priorities.
Right. Yeah. And one way you can manage your priorities is, right, the simplest thing, the thing most people do is they schedule those things we believe are in line with our priorities. We put on our calendar things that we believe are likely to help us achieve our objectives. An example is putting meetings on our calendar that we think are related to projects and responsibilities we have. Makes sense, right? When we schedule a meeting, we're basically saying, this is worthy of my attention. We're managing what we attend to, which is to say we're managing our attention.
Yeah. So the problem is that many of us are good, and some of us actually are great at managing meetings and scheduling those things that we wish to attend.
Right. Problem is, on the plus side, right.
Yeah, on the plus side. But on the other side, we're terrible at managing those things that distract us from our priorities. Right? They intrude. We don't schedule distractions, yet we're distracted.
Oh my gosh. It's worse now than it's ever been, and I'm predicting it's gonna get worse, right? Yeah.
And if we're gonna wanna have time to do all those things and spend time on the things we want to accomplish, we better not only schedule those things well, but we need to avoid the distractions.
Yep.
And today we're gonna talk about that.
Yeah, you don't win a football game or a baseball game with only offense. You got to have offense and some defense. And in fact, they're, you know, in sports anyway, probably a terrible analogy, but in sports, defense wins championships. That's certainly what Italian Serie A thinks. It's a very defensive game in Italy as opposed to, say, English Premier League. Yeah, you have to be able to do both. And you're right. Most of us are terrible at it, as Bug Girl would say in the forums, shiny, right? Right. I'm easily shiny. Let's go look at shiny. And so this cast is recommending specific actions to take to reduce the pain that distractions cause us relative to our effectiveness. We know that you're distracted. People are distracted for good reasons. You like being distracted because you do it. If you didn't like it, you wouldn't do it. On the other hand, just because you like it doesn't mean it's effective. And this cast is all about effectiveness. And we have four specific recommendations. And it's a long cast because we're going to talk in detail about these things. And yet we cut out two additional recommendations about continuous partial attention and multitasking because they deserve their own cast. We didn't want to put them on the end of this one and have people miss it. So four major points. We recommend number one, you avoid email. Number two, avoid answering the phone. Number three, avoid using instant messaging.
So far,
and four, avoid Twitter.
Oh,
now, I got to tell you, if that doesn't get people's attention, I don't know what will. Although, in the show notes, we should admit, avoid has quotes around it each time.
Good. Okay, so we'll get to the avoid Twitter.
We don't say never do it. We say avoid it.
That's good, because I have a Twitter account, so we're gonna have to talk about that.
Yeah, and in the same fashion, I have an email account.
Good. Okay. All right. So we finally got to the point where
I don't know. Do you have a phone? Do you have a phone?
I have a phone.
Yeah.
And instant
messaging. IM every once in a while too.
I have IM. I'm not. I could deal without that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But our first one, which is avoiding email, you just admitted you have an email account. I know you get hundreds of email a day.
Yep.
So, you know, it's necessary, and we hate it a lot of the time.
Right.
But it's there for a good reason. So you can't tell me we're just going to avoid. We're not going to do email.
No, we are. I mean, our guidance is to, quote, avoid, unquote, email. And we mean that quite sincerely. We know that you cannot eliminate it, but the bias we recommend is to avoid it, as opposed to having no feelings about it at all, knowing it's necessary, and then letting it fill up all of our time, right? email is necessary. We totally respect that. Many people mistakenly believe that I hate email. I don't hate email. I love email. It lets me communicate a lot with friends and associates. I absolutely despise the way most people use it and what a terrible burden it is for most people. But that's a behavioral issue, not a technology issue. It's necessary because so many of us use it as our primary form of professional communication. It didn't even exist 30 years ago, and it's become our primary form of professional communication without any training. That ought to scare the hell out of people, but it doesn't. And we make it necessary, and we make it our primary form because we have a lot to communicate. And unfortunately, and here's where email really breaks down, we are more interested, and this is a mistake, in being efficient with our communications. And by that, basically what we mean is making it easy on the utterer, the person who's typing when it comes to email. We're more interested in being efficient than we are in being effective, which is making sure the right message gets across, which of course is about the listener who is the actual communicator. Email is easier for the person who's broadcasting or speaking or uttering or typing. And that's why it's so frequently used.
Right. Yeah. And so people don't think about being effective.
Yeah.
They think about being efficient.
And look, I happen to, one of the things I've really enjoyed in the last couple of years is Life Hacker and 43 Folders, Merlin Mann and all you know, getting things done. I just love that. Let's see if we can't get 2 or 3% more efficient. And I love it. I want to do it. I know I'm inefficient at some things, terribly inefficient. And yet, Manager Tools focus is on both efficiency and effectiveness. But look, if you've got 5 minutes, it's far better to spend it on effectiveness than it is on efficiency. And getting better at email while sending things the wrong way to the wrong people with the wrong results and doing it faster is not good. It's just not. And I actually, literally in the last couple of weeks, have a perfect example of what is, I can only describe as the terrible triumph of the ease of use of email. In other words, its efficiency, its simplicity, over its value as a communication channel in terms of effectiveness. And it takes a minute to tell the story, but it's worth this story. I got an email recently from someone I've known well for a few years. I haven't spoken to him in a while because we don't live near one another, and he's not a client. We haven't had an email exchange in a few months, but we've worked together before. We've had some meals together, and so I know him. I know him well. He knows me. I get this mail over the weekend, which in its entirety says, quote, how far, parentheses, or length of time, close parentheses, do you generally run?
That's it?
That's it.
He could have Twittered that, but okay.
Okay. No context, no nothing. Just, in my opinion, this email from a person I recognize, right? Pure distilled randomness in the form of, now, a personal obligation to me. Now, when I get this email, I read it. I have no clue what he wants this information for. We've never discussed working out. I generally don't discuss working out with other people. My note back to him expressed my surprise at the question. And then I did my best. I know the guy. I want to help him. I tried to answer the mail. But unfortunately, depending upon what he's asking about, I mean, I had to answer it in every possible permutation that somebody might want to know about my workout. He writes one line. You know, you say Twitter, you're right. It's no more than 49 keystrokes in there. And I have to write back 3 paragraphs with caveats and explanations so he will be able to use fully, however I might assume he could use it, the information he's requested. Okay, so that's the pitch. That's the lead-in. That's not the story, though, folks. Here's the punchline. Here's the kicker. His response, to my surprise, yet full answer to his question, was this. Quote, my apologies for the vagueness. I had a quick thought between family tasks and didn't want to lose it, unquote. Okay, now look, this comment isn't about this guy, about him. He's a great guy. He really is. But seriously, someone expects me to answer that question in all its vagueness because it was easy to send me a mail between his busy family schedule over the weekend. He has family schedule and he's creating personal obligations for me. And it's easy for him to do it. It's suddenly as if my email inbox has become his personal memo pad. Well, I'll just ask Mark, and I don't have time to really explain why or ask politely or anything. I mean, I said to myself, you got to be kidding me. Email has become so dang easy for all of us. We can ask nearly anything of anyone without considering the consequences to them, because there are no consequences to us, because it's easy. It's just typing. It's efficient. And that's about the sender. And hopefully everybody who's listening knows good communication is never about the sender. Good communication is effective because it's about the recipient, because communication is what the listener does. I mean, look, it's literally a case where, oh, it's easy for me to do it, so I'll do it. And I don't care about the impact on the person who I need the information from.
Right. Well, no wonder so many people hate it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
there's too much of it, number one.
Right.
And I guess that's kind of directly related to the development of efficiency over effectiveness. It ties directly to the story you're talking about. And then because it's all about being efficient versus effective, it creates this demand in our inbox.
Right.
And unfortunately, not for the person who sent it, but for the recipient.
Yeah. So,
and a lot of that stuff in your inbox is not always considered a good thing, right?
Yeah. I always thought it was funny that the email inbox was called an inbox. I mean, it's as if they knew in advance when they created email clients and servers that if they gave us all an easy way to communicate, we'd use it to communicate to others about stuff they needed to do. Literally another set of tasks. Another set of demands, really, is what Peter Drucker would call it. Look, what all this means, there's too much of something, email, in our daily professional lives that may not be and often is not closely related to our core priorities. And folks, that's bad, in case you need help, in case we need to think about the implications anymore. And look, we spend hours working on email, or as we like to say, doing mail. And that means less effectiveness because we're spending less time on our priorities. Oh, sure, some mail is about our priorities. But for the most part, email and its efficiency means we have too much. And it doesn't necessarily, the email that we get, we can't filter out all those things unrelated to our priorities. And so we have stuff in our inbox every day, a lot of it, the majority of it, that's not related to us helping us get to our core priorities.
Right. And it's demands by others on your time
that
have nothing to do with your priorities. Now, if somebody's responding to an email from you about one of your priorities, that's different.
Great.
But I guess 90% of it is junk mail, in the sense it's people putting demand on your time that you didn't ask for.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more, but executives absolutely see mail from some people that aren't related to their four or five priorities, and they know they can only get one or two done, that is junk mail. They regret it, but they'd rather regret not answering junk mail than they would regret telling their boss they didn't get anything done this year.
Right. Well, see, in your story, it wouldn't have been such a burden for me, because I would have just deleted it and ignored it, but you're too kind and you actually responded. So
I did respond.
So, given all that, so what do effective executives do about all this email?
Right. And the answer is we avoid it. Literally, effective executives, effective managers avoid it. Again, quotes around it. We use that word, folks, not in its purest form, in terms of avoid like the devil, right? If you saw the devil, you'd be pretty motivated to run away. Right. We don't mean it purely never do it. We mean you have to have a way of dealing with it that puts it in its place. Otherwise, it will eat you alive. We know you have mail to do. We're not saying don't do it. We know that almost everybody who's hearing this is incapable of completely avoiding it because it's work. But avoid doing it as often as you can. In other words, the word to focus on is avoidance rather than doing mail. Because if you come back to your desk and there's nothing on your calendar, too many of us will go right to doing mail because it gives you a sense of satisfaction that you're working through your inbox and you're not accomplishing anything. And look, if you do mail much less often, the beauty of this from hundreds, if not thousands by now, of executives and managers who have followed this technique, if you do it this way, if you avoid mail as your mindset, you will have no discernible change in your ability to communicate. People will not perceive you communicating enormously differently. You will have no perceived reduction in your reputation, which is that so many people say, well, I can't get off of mail because people will notice and think I'm weird or something. And yet, even though those two things won't get hurt, your communication reputation and your overall reputation, and yet you will also have a huge corresponding increase in your ability to manage your attention and accomplish things toward your key priorities. And so the downside is teeny. And the upside is huge. And you just don't, we just don't get too many situations like that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. But, you know, we already talked about it. You got to do it. It's necessary.
Right.
and it's also the single biggest organizationally sponsored attention attenuator that has ever existed in the history of organizational man.
Yeah.
Doing email is the single largest use of most professional schedules, you and mine included, and produces the smallest results of significance.
Yeah, we're not saying that sending a mail back doesn't have a little bit of significance, but in terms of the volume of mail we do, it has the smallest total significance compared to a one-hour presentation where the board approves $1 million budget change or something like that. And look, we're talking about organizationally sponsored attention distractors or attention attenuators, right? Look, personal sloth, laziness, is the biggest one. That's the biggest thing that'll take you away from your objectives. But that one doesn't count because the organization doesn't subsidize it, at least not knowingly or directly. But email is bought and paid for by your organization. It's as if they literally email, the example or the analogy I heard from a friend of mine was, it's as if our company wanted all of us to chop down trees. And so they gave us an axe and said, okay, look, every time you cut down a tree, hack off a piece of yourself too, because your blood will keep this axe sharp.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, yeah, okay, it's a great tool. It chops down trees. And if you keep hacking at yourself, after a while, you discover there's a lot less of you to go around, which is exactly what email does.
Okay, so we're not saying don't do email. We're not that crazy. And we're not that smart where we figured out how you can get away with it. So,
yeah.
So what are we telling people? And it's one thing to say, okay, I get it, Mark. So
right,
avoid email. So what? I got tons of email. I got 300 emails a day.
Yeah.
How do I avoid that? What do you mean?
We want avoid to be in your head. And so if you have a choice of email and a priority, you choose the priority. In other words, you like a magnet, you move away from email and toward the other priority. But we have 5 specific recommendations you can engage in. These are behaviors you can engage in tomorrow. Every person who's listening to this can engage in these behaviors tomorrow that will be behaviors that will lead you toward more time for your primary responsibilities. And you will not be any less effective on email. You will just spend a heck of a lot less time doing it and feel a lot better about it. And these 5 things are scheduling time for email. And if that sounds familiar, we did 4 years ago, I think, cover this 3 or 4 years ago, cover this in a cast, but we talked about it in a little bit different sense in terms of, we went into more detail in the God Email cast from 2005?
2005, I think, yeah.
Yeah, in the very beginning. So we've touched on some of these things, but we have a little different twist here because the theme of this one is about attention and distractors. So A, schedule time for email. B, only do email when scheduled, although you have rare exceptions. C, finish all of your email in the time you allot to do it. D, you turn off notifications of email. We've said that a number of times before, and we just thought we'd update that recommendation because email invades us all the time, and we all fall off the wagon at various times. And E, the fifth one, reduce or eliminate client-server mail delivery frequency. That's the 5.
Now, look, before we get to that, let me ask you a question because you alluded to it earlier, so maybe now might be a good time. I had a friend of mine I had lunch with the other day, a gentleman you know, used to work in my organization a long time
ago.
So
right,
I had
sure.
lunch, and he was complaining to me that he's had some ideas that he wanted to share with his boss. It's actually 2 or 3 levels up, the president. So he's a couple of levels down. So he's been sending the gentleman some emails over the course of the last 2 months.
Ooh.
And he never gets a response.
Right.
And he told me he thought the gentleman was rude for not responding.
Yeah.
I know you have a different view of that. So why don't you share that with folks? Because I'm sure it's happened to a lot of people.
Yeah. Now, I can't say for sure the guy isn't rude. I can say that is a very common conclusion drawn, and it is more often wrong than not.
Yeah. And let me tell you, he said, I asked him some questions around that, and he's met the guy. He's been in conversations with him. He's been in meetings with him. He has some relationship with him, and he said he's the nicest guy. So he didn't think the guy was rude until now.
Right. Yeah, well, sometimes when we get that, when we hear a guy who says, "Guy's a nice guy," he can't answer me. I guess I misread him, or he's arrogant. He really likes his power. He's a nice person. When he goes home to his family, he's a nice guy. But when he's in his power role at work, he's kind of a jerk. That's not true either. That's a bad judgment to make or inference to make from a small set of behaviors. Look, the simple answer is these folks, most executives that are at reasonably senior levels, are busy. And look, folks, as a general rule, I know everyone thinks they're the busiest person in the world, and we're not going to argue with that. But in my experience, in Mike's experience, working with a lot of organizations all across the world, executives are by far the busiest people in any company or firm we have ever worked in. Frankly, they are swamped. They feel swamped. And there are managers who tell me they're swamped. I had a client that will, there are some people who are listening to this that will chuckle because they'll know who it is. I had managers tell me all the time, you know, a couple levels down from general manager, this is a, you know, $200-400 million division of a very successful multi-billion-dollar company. And they'd say, oh my gosh, Mark, we just, the tempo here is so bad. We can't hardly, I'm swamped. And at 5:45, the parking lot was empty.
Yeah.
You know, okay, look, I don't want anybody getting divorced. I want you to be home with your families, but that's not swamped. And the general manager was there well past 5:45, by the way. But look, we're not going to argue with you. But you're going too far if you think you have a lot more to do than the execs in your organization. Trust us, by and large, they have more to do than you do. Okay. And here's what happens. You send them a mail per your friend, the guy you mentioned, right? And you don't get an answer. And so they blow you off. They quote, blow you off and quote, they ignore you, right? You try to get on their calendar and they have time, but it's 8 weeks from now and it's a half an hour. And this gives rise to crappy comments about people. Really, we don't even know these executives, but we're drawing conclusions and then spreading swill about them, about how elitist they are and above the rest of us they are. And it's just wrong. And we look, this is not about defending executives. This is a part of the cast about email. But look, the majority of executives we know have earned their promotions. They're pretty smart. They know that the higher they get up the flagpole, the more their rear end is exposed, as the joke goes. They get very picky about delivering on their primary objectives. And that's because they have to be picky because they have a billion things to do, but only 11 of them do they believe have big leverage on their primary objectives. Because they have so much to do, they quickly kill any intervention. They say, I feel a little bit of regret when I don't respond or when I don't make somebody's day by responding the way they would like me to, but I would rather have a momentary pinch of neglect rather than misleading them and taking hours, which I can't spend on my primary objective, only to tell them in the end it doesn't fit. Look, yeah, you may have a great idea. I bet your buddy did. And that runs up against the reasonable tightness that these executives have about their own schedules, which, just like yours and mine, includes their families and weekends and more email than most of us get anyway. Look, either they try to do everything and collapse in total exhaustion, or they start learning how to prioritize and managing their schedules and their attention. And the reason they're not communicating with most of the people they're not communicating with is because our needs are a distraction to them relative to their core objectives. They only have time to handle their very top objectives. And sadly, they see a lot of us, particularly if we don't have a sharp relationship with them, as simply getting in their way. They wouldn't describe it that way. They don't want to be thought of that way, but they are focused on delivering on the objectives. Because if they don't, they're going to have to be the person that lays off 500 people and they don't want to lay awake at night for 5 years feeling bad about their mistake. Now, look, we're not making an excuse for an arrogance that it may be perceived, but I would just suggest the perception is probably wrong in many, many cases. And look, there are those that aren't that good and they're just flailing around and they're not delegating. They act officious and they're jerks. We know them. I'm sure we'll have a cast at some point about bad bosses, angry bosses. But it's still true that most of them tend to vastly overextend. They tend to be overextended, and then they have learned, if they're good, to stay pretty narrowly focused and to be ruthless about distractions, because if they start dealing with shiny stuff, as Bug Girl would say, we're in trouble.
Right. So what many of us assume is arrogance or them ignoring us, it's really neither. It's executive focus.
Yeah.
And we're talking about attention today. We've got to assume that executive focus is a good thing.
It is.
Effective executives manage their priorities to conserve their most precious resource, which is their time.
Yep. Try not to get your feelings hurt. Try not to draw conclusions about people you don't know that well, simply because you can't break through to their priorities. Because if you're two levels below them, the person who gave them their priorities is three levels above you. And as we used to joke in the Army, that is echelons above reality.
Thanks, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll continue with the series next week on Career Tools. If you haven't been to discussion forums, please join us. www.managertools.com/forums. Lots of great people there with lots of great advice on careers and management. All right, folks, we'll see you next week. So long.